This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, July 24th, 2016. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon between 12 noon and 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Indeed, live in studio. Give us a call, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to find out what's on your mind and things that you've tried and applied to your health problems and you can't seem to get an inch up on the ladder. Well, here's an opportunity. That's why we're here. That's why we do this program every week, and to give you the information to move forward in your life, but also to make you the scrutinizing consumer of healthcare services so you ask the right questions of the people that you interact with. But we have a program today, and we have one, and it's not about baby, it's hot out there, even though it is hot out there, and that's a different story. But nevertheless, we have a program, and the program is, the topic is causes of joint pain, three causes of common joint problems. And, you know, all those chronic problems that never seem to go away. You hurt all over. You think it's a joint, but, you know, the muscles ache deeply, whether it's your neck, your low back, your shoulders, your elbows, your knees, your fingers, whatever it is, the joint, all those things that move. It's pain. It hurts. It's something that shouldn't be. But, you know, who better than to kind of walk through this subject than the guy that I respect the most, Dr. Harlan Browning. Welcome, Harlan. Good to see you again.
It's always good to be here, Tom. Thanks for the invite, as always.
You know, it's one of those things that we see on a regular basis at the Rozelle Center, and people come in and they're hurting and they're on tons of medications, and the medications are compounded. They make them a whole lot worse, and they go into the tailspin, and pretty soon years go by and their body breaks down and their quality of life is totally gone. Nothing is good anymore. So let's kind of explore that, because I know this is going to be the topic of your presentation this Wednesday evening, the 27th of July at the Rozelle Center for Healing. But you said three common causes. That's like a wide open topic. What are we talking about?
Well, you know what? I actually decided to expand it to four. Okay. I was going to make this interesting.
Would you like five?
I possibly could do five as well.
Okay.
You know, first of all, when we look at pain patterns in the general population, it's not only common, it's epidemic at this point. So that's alarming. Secondly, the way that we currently treat these issues are either we suppress the inflammation with an over-the-counter or maybe a prescription-type steroid, and then we treat the pain component as well, which, as we all know, it's becoming a travesty as far as addictions is concerned. What I like to look at is, where's the pain coming from? Is it coming from the joint itself, or is it coming from the belly of the muscle? Now, there's a big distinguishing factor right there is as far as what can cause that. There's different etiologies as far as things that happen in the joint versus the muscle. So that's the first place I like to look at. And then I like to break it down. Is there a mechanical reason for this, or degenerative reason? Is there a metabolic reason? Is there an infectious disease or an autoimmune type component? And then the one I added in, is it a referred type pain? And I think that this is an underappreciated cause of pain that's not diagnosed and not treated effectively.
Okay, let's kind of break those apart, because I got a lot of questions on that, as I'm sure that our listeners do as well. When we talk about, you know, the joint problems, is it coming from the joint, is it coming from the muscle? But there's another question that goes before that, and if that's true, and if it is a joint, if it's a muscle or a tendon problem, a fascial problem, what triggered that piece? And then, but more importantly, let's get to the question of, you know, how do we distinguish, you know, where it is? Is it that other thing that I know that you're going to go to? Is autoimmune? Is it joint trauma? Where is it coming from?
Well, certainly you're going to look at the history of the problem. Is it an acute situation? Did it just happen? Was there a cause? Did you slip and fall? I mean, that's pretty much a no-brainer. You probably traumatized tissue, ligaments, tendons. You might have broken something. Or is it a chronic problem that you can't put your finger on? Is it getting progressively worse? So it can be a short-term thing, a long-term thing. It could be age-dependent. Is this something that occurs after, you know, 40, 45 years, 50 years? And is it a global pain or is it a local pain? That's a big distinguishing factor. When something becomes global, in my opinion, then I'm thinking there's an autoimmune or there's an immune response that's taking over that's perpetuating the inflammation.
You know, you mentioned something, age dependent, and here's where I got to step in, right? So the body hurts. And for me, and what I tell my patients, it's not necessarily age, but it's problem over time. It's the longevity of the problem persistent within the body that begins to show up. It just happens to be as we get older, we have more problems because we've been ignoring them for a long time. Am I wrong or am I on the
right track? No, you're right on point there. So when I think about age dependent, that's when I start to bring into the formula of, is there a chance of it's arthritis or degenerative changes. So if I have a 21-year-old person that's complaining of knee pain, I wouldn't say that arthritis is going to be at the top of my list of differentials, but certainly somebody over the age of 50, 55, then I'm moving that up a little bit higher. So it goes back to what you're saying. There's probably some sort of insult going on repetitively over time. Maybe it was jump-started by a slip and fall or a motor vehicle accident when the person was in their 20s, but typically it's the adaptation the body goes through over years to try to, you know, stabilize the situation.
What do you tell a patient, and we're going to get into the meat of this as the program goes on, but what do you tell a patient that comes in, you know, you ask them, have you ever had any traumas whatsoever, any car accidents, any falls and so forth? And they say, no, nothing major. And, you know, then you ask them the question again, and said, well, have you ever had a car accident? And they said, well, yeah, you know, 20 years ago I had a rear end, but I was stiff for a couple of days and I was fine. Does that play into the piece?
It certainly does. And unfortunately, you know, out of sight, out of mind, when the pain's gone, we assume the problem is gone. Well, you need to look at functionality as well. So you got into a motor vehicle accident, you had a little neck pain, but did you notice over time that your ability to turn your head, let's say when you're backing out of the driveway, becomes harder and harder? And, you know, things like that. Is it more difficult for you to touch your toes than it used to be before? That means that the body has changed over time and it's becoming mechanically at a disadvantage.
And, you know, the other thing that I ask the patients is when they have that, I said, have you noticed any numbness anywhere, any tingling, any, you know, do you wake up in the middle of the night, do you have to turn a little bit to get the circulation back in your hands? You put your hands on the steering wheel and they kind of go to sleep. But we're getting into a chronic pain pattern that can be from so many things. Trauma is one of them. And we can extend that trauma to job-related situation. People, you know, lifting and pushing, homemakers, you know, they're home and they're pushing the vacuum cleaner, and they're lifting furniture, and they're pushing things around, they're lifting children. All of those things are significant to the body. But let's get into, and we're going to explore these a little bit more, but let's get into the biochemical piece as well. We know that, you know, this can be simply exposure, but it can also be a lot of other deep, far-reaching things. People ignore the biochemistry. Why? And how does that affect this?
Because I think it most of the time when they get their annual checkup, the blood work looks relatively good because it's very basic, you know, examinatory procedures. It's a chemistry screen. It's a CBC. You're lucky to get a vitamin D. So you're not getting a huge reflection on the state of the physiology. Certainly you don't see them running a lot of the inflammatory markers that are just generalized. That's a good place to start. And most definitely you don't see them running specific markers of inflammation or immune response unless you're going to a rheumatologist or infectious disease person.
But even then, you know as well as I do, when a lot of this blood work comes back into the office and you look at it within the parameters of the laboratory highs and lows, the doc is going to take a look at it and say, yeah, it's not a problem. But when you look at functional medicine normals, that's a whole different ballgame. And if the patient is outside those parameters, if they're on the high side of normal or they're on the low side of normal, that's not necessarily normal.
No. And if you look at it like the stock market, you look at trends. Is there a moving trend? Is the value increasing or decreasing? That gives you an indication that the physiology is slowly changing. So if the parameter goes, let's say, from 0 to 10 and the person's at a 9, Well, are you going to wait until it gets to a 10 to where there's an H on the paper that says that it's high, or are you going to start to address, you know, what might be causing that to push it further down into range? Now, the other thing that I think is important to know is the lower is not necessarily the better, or the higher is not necessarily the better. We're seeing that right now with cholesterol. You're seeing doctors trying to push cholesterol below a 120 or 130 total. That can have a devastating effect. So we want to be somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, it's craziness when, let's take your cholesterol situation again, because when you get cholesterol too low, people are going to hurt. And, you know, physicians out there for so many years now have wanted to push that cholesterol lower and lower and lower and lower, because they think that cholesterol is the reason that people plaque and throw clots and so forth. And as we know, it's not. It's the inflammatory reaction that's within the arteries and the tissues of the body that causes the plaquing to occur, whether you have a little bit of fat or you have a lot of fat. But when you're knocking that down, now your body's own immunological reactions are suppressed. Your own nervous system is being beat up because you don't have enough fat to transmit.
Yeah, so cholesterol is the building blocks of all hormones. And don't forget that our steroid hormones like cortisol, which is a natural anti-inflammatory, are cortisol-based. So if you push that number too low, then it becomes not a good thing. Touching on what you just said about the treatment of it, new research is actually bearing out that the statin drugs are effective, not so much because it is lowering the cholesterol, but because they actually are a powerful anti-inflammatory. So the cause and effect is being grayed here, because they're looking only at the cholesterol portion of it and not looking at the fact that it's a powerful anti-inflammatory.
The jury's not out completely. And if you go back to the study that was done, and it was released 2 years ago, and it came out early part of the fall, maybe 3 years ago now. It was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, and they took 1,000 men and that were on statins for a lot of years. And what they did is they did the history, had they had any problems before, why they put them on the drugs and so forth. But the conclusion was simply this, that you had to treat 100 guys for 5 years with a statin on a daily basis to prevent one heart attack when they gave the general population. So to prevent the heart attack, the plaquing and so forth, wasn't necessarily the trigger. And actually, as you know, it can increase the possibility of cardiac failure because of the depletion of many things, but one being coenzyme Q10.
So certainly.
So we have that piece as well. So I'm very skeptical when things come out in that nature. And, you know, you compound that with baby aspirin and, you know, the 81 milligrams and so forth. That actually increases the potential of stroke and heart attacks from a bleeding purpose. That's the literature's there. That's not me making it up. It's real easy to look up. And I've begged people for years, go tell your doctor to get you off this stuff because, you know, it's causing other problems. Not Tom Rozelle saying it, but go check the literature. So, as you know, we go forth with this topic. I want to get into the joint pain, and we just touched upon, you know, a lot of the NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, which are COX-2 inhibitor type patterns, and they cause tremendous amount of problems within the body. My guest in studio, Dr. Harlan Browning, will be your host, your presenter at the Rozelle Center for Healing this Wednesday, 7 p.m., the 27th of July. And it's like it's going by way too fast. You know, once the 4th of July hits, it's like the summer's over already, and you close your eyes and it's all said and done. But he's going to be talking about pain, joint pain, and what seems to be joint pain but isn't necessarily joint pain. You know, so whether you're talking about rheumatoid arthritis, and we're going to get into the different types of these conditions in the second half of the program, but trust me, there is a way out if you understand why they're there, what's happened, but more importantly, what's the game plan that you can embrace, that you can get a hold of to make a huge difference in your life and reclaim your life, reclaim your health, get yourself back to where, you know, your creator meant you to be. It's not okay to be in constant situation. All you got to do is call 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. Tell the staff at the Rozelle Center for Healing that you'd like to attend Dr. Harlan Browning's presentation this Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We'll be right back after some very important messages. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, I'm in studio. It's hot outside, but it's cooler in here. I may stay here the rest of the afternoon. I'm not sure. But anyway, give us a call. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on any subject. We've got a good one. We're talking about joint pain. You know, that kind of pain that never goes away. And, you know, if you go into the web and you look things up, you're going to see things like, you know, fibromyalgia syndrome. You're going to look at this thing called polymyalgia rheumatica. You're going to look at things like MS. Multiple sclerosis patients have a lot of pain. But you know what? It goes beyond that. It goes to gout. It goes to psoriatic patients. It goes to, and all these things we can talk about from a structural point of view, or we can talk from an autoimmune point of view, but ultimately they affect each other. In-house, in-studio, Dr. Harlan Browning, only the best professors we will allow here in the studio. Your host, your presenter this Wednesday evening, the 27th at the Rozelle Center for Healing. Dr. Harlan, let's get into the touch upon it. We'll get back into it in the second half of the program on the autoimmune portions that cause that reaction to occur in the body.
Yeah, I think we should also include the infectious disease in that. Indeed. In that category as well, because the response of the body is very similar as far as the inflammation that occurs. But, you know, we certainly think about when it comes to the autoimmune, we think of the big ones like RA and scleroderma and lupus. Those cause a lot of pain patterns. And then there's what I call soft autoimmune type things. These are people who have food sensitivities that are undiagnosed. These are people that have environmental exposure that they're sensitive to, that they have an immune response to, multiple chemical sensitivities and those types of things, molds. Any of those things can cause the body to start to attack itself.
And we're not talking about just inflammatory reactions, but actually a deterioration and a breakdown of the body's soma, the tissue of our skeletal structure, our neuromuscular system.
Yeah, so when the body has an immune reaction, it forms antibodies, and antibody's job is to grab hold of what's called an antigen. An antigen is something that the body perceives to be foreign, and that can be food residues, like we were talking about as far as food sensitivities. And then it has to do something with it. It either needs to get it out of the body, destroy it, and the body will eat it up. It has immune cells that'll eat it, or sometimes it can't get rid of it, so it'll deposit it, and it'll deposit it in joint spaces. And as it does that, it has to wall it off, so it starts to nibble on those tissues as well. And then over time, the tissues break down, and the classic example would be, you know, in RA, where the joint will be completely destroyed and disfigured.
So, you know, if you get to a place where you get a patient with RA or a patient with very advanced degenerative disease within the skeletal system any place, can you put the fire out? Not only can you put the fire out, but in a perfect world, can the patient restore the joint?
Yeah. It's definitely an all hands on deck approach. So there's lifestyle changes that are going to need to be made. There's things that need to be done to help stabilize physically the joint space itself. There's things that's going to need to be done to suppress the inflammation in the body. But, you know, definitely you can change the pattern. You can get the person in a much better place. The key part of this whole picture is doing something about it early. Once the destruction to the joint is taking place, some of that can return, but not as much as we'd like to see, unfortunately.
Yeah, part of that, my experience over pretty years, in a perfect world, the body will restore, replace almost anything. But the end of the day is, it's the patient's commitment to themselves, their willingness to change a lot of things, because we have life habits. I've had patients tell me just on something that's crazy, like, you know, if I have to give that up, I'd rather die. And, well, the truth of it is that they're going to take themselves out. The problem is they're taking themselves out very, very hard, very abruptly, with a lot of slings and arrows, and it's not okay. You can make a difference. The body's extremely forgiving, and the tissue continues to repair itself, and as long as you're breathing and you give it the right fuel and you take away the inhibition, the body can shift and change. This Wednesday, the 27th, at the Rozelle Center for Healing, 7 o'clock, Dr. Harlan Browning will be your host, your presenter. He's going to be talking about common causes of joint pain and degeneration and so forth. We've talked about several things right now, from structural injury to now we're getting into little autoimmune problems and so forth. You know, Dr. Harlan, coming up with this presentation, you're going to have a lot of questions, because people are going to walk in and they're on tons of meds. These medications all by themselves are enhancing the degenerative change.
Yes, certainly the COX inhibitors will do that, because their mode of action is to in part is to sabotage the role of sulfur. And sulfur is very much a component of our joints. So when people take glucosamine or chondroitin, if you think about it, it's called glucosamine sulfate because it has sulfur in it. So long-term use of any of the COXs or any of the NSAIDs for that matter, you know, the Advils, all those types of things, they block the assimilation of sulfur. So although it changes the pain, the joint continues to break down.
It's an ongoing eat thyself program, unfortunately, and it gets worse and worse over a long period of time. You can stop it. You can make a difference. This Wednesday evening, the 27th, attend Dr. Harlan Browning's presentation on common causes of joint pain. And guess what? You might actually have a path to be able to get off some of these medications that are destroying your health. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in this very hot Washington day. It's climbing up there, my friends. Make sure that you drink a ton of water and stay cool. And, you know, this is what they call Black Flag Day, Dr. Browning. You know, years ago when I had the privilege and opportunity of going to boot camp down in Quantico, Virginia, I came into this area and it was one of these nasty sweltering day. And here I am, you know, a young 19-year-old and not knowing if my butt's going to be handed to me. And, you know, it's not the metropolitan area it is today. And we get down there and I walk, we drove the bus in, we're getting checked by the MPs and so forth, because it was Vietnam era, it was a secure base, and the black flag was up. And I found out later what that meant was that, you know, there was no heavy training. So as scared as I was praying that black flag would stay up there for a few days until I got used to the area. Anyway, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on any subject. We're talking about joint pain. If you're taking all kinds of medications that, you know, you've been stuck on now for a long, long, long time, maybe it's time that you look at it differently and ask the right questions. But everything from, you know, your aspirins and ibuprofens, things of that nature, are Advil and Motrin, naproxens, your just straight old NSAIDs, your aspirins. Dr. Browning, that, you know, there's been many drugs that have been out there that have been very, very heavy COX-2 inhibitors for many years. And they've taken them all off the marketplace except for one that they took off and then put back on. That's Celebrex. And the reason is because what you said earlier, they have a lousy effect on the heart. It's called death. It's called sudden cardiac failure. And these are the drugs that they're using because of what we talked about earlier. It dramatically depletes, number one, the coenzyme Q10 within the cardiac tissue, but also throughout the entire body. And increases the risk, by the way, dementia and so forth. And we see, you know, older folks increasing their problems. If they try things like Tylenol, then if they're on that on a day-to-day basis, they increase the risk of liver failure. So we have all these things going on. So it's a problem. 888-630-9625. Let's talk about your problems. Dr. Browning, let's get in a little bit more into this subject of autoimmune reactions and what happens. What are the triggering mechanisms? Why does somebody end up with a rheumatoid pattern? You know, everything's going great for their life, and then all of a sudden, boom, and then they give them a biological that makes life even worse. But what's the scoop on that?
You know, well, many of the autoimmunes, there's a hereditary component, but there's also things that have to trigger the immune system to go to action. And those certainly can be lifestyle things. That can be environmental things, exposures to toxic chemicals and petroleum products. There's multiple factors to that. And, you know, I think it's also important that we start to talk about things that we don't typically think about. And that's other exposures like molds, and viruses. These things will fly under the radar, never get diagnosed, and cause off and again and on again pain problems and immune problems as well.
And we live in Mold City.
Yes.
Foggy Bottom. You know, people who have never had mold or fungus or any kind of yeast irritation, they come into Washington and all of a sudden all kinds of things are happening. Let's talk about that a little bit. You know, how does that mold cause pain?
Well, because it upregulates the immune system to become more inflamed. And it's the great mimicker. It'll cause everything from chronic fatigue to attention deficit to, you know, chronic pain. I mean, and everything and anything in between. But again, it's the same thing that's going on. The immune system is out of control. It's producing inflammatory markers that are causing the body to, you know, break down and certainly have lots of global inflammation.
You know, the problem is that people put up with, because, you know, Fifth Avenue Marketing, as I lovingly call it, will tell you that, you know, for your common whatever, for your normal whatever, there is no normal. Your body is supposed to be handling life at a very high level. And then, but we get these little things, we get beat up. And, you know, going back to your stock market analogy, you know, nothing goes straight up or straight down. You have all these peaks and valleys, ups and downs. So you look for trends up and trends down. But here's where we get fooled, because the trend down is also coupled with peaks up, but those peaks up are less all the time until we get to a place where sometimes, unfortunately, people flatline, we call death, and sometimes they just get into such a low level that there's no way out, and the structural system's being affected, the biological system's being affected. They take more and more medications to quell the problem. Not a good thing. Let's go to the phones. Dee, how can I help you?
I wanted to ask about functional capacity tests, that's normally just for workers' comp, but how does a person who I have injuries throughout my entire body, I have stenosis throughout my entire body, now I'm 61, and it's more and more difficult. I'm on a cane, and I'm on disability, and I got a letter saying, "Are you still disabled?" How do you what tests do you do besides getting radiated to death, going in for MRI after MRI or whatever? Are there other tests like the functional capacity that would show? I mean, at what point are you disabled?
Okay, so, all right, so you want to know how...
How do you prove that?
How do you prove it?
Yeah. Hi, Dee, Dr. Brown here. You know, when it comes to workman's comp and figuring out if a person has an impairment, they typically will send you to a doctor that specializes in that. When I say specializes, it means he's been credentialed in it. So it's not like that this is unique to him.
This is not worker's comp. I was just saying that the functional capacity tests are only allowed for worker's comp. But when you have this year after year after year, and you are going downhill.
Well, you're talking about what are you looking to claim disability? Is that
I'm already on it.
Okay.
I've gotten a letter saying, "Are you still disabled?"
Okay, so
you
have to go to a doctor that is willing to do the tests. You have to look at everything from a biochemical platform. You have to see if the immunological system is working the way it's supposed to, if the inflammatory markers are elevated. You look at range of motion and functional capacity, the joint spaces.
They won't do the test. That's what I'm saying.
Then you have to go to a doctor that will do them.
I keep going to the doctors to write up. That's what I thought, you know.
The only thing that we can tell you is what they will actually accept. And unfortunately, the only things that they accept in any kind of disability evaluation is certain procedures, the x-rays, range of motion, flexion extension views, biological markers with blood supplies and so forth. If your physicians won't do that, then you have to go to somebody who will do that. And unfortunately, you're going to have to pay for it out of your own pocket if they're not willing to do it. That's the catch-22, and we're seeing more and more of it, whether it's the Affordable Care Act, they're not going to do it. If you got Medicare, Medicaid, it's limited in their thing. Workman's compensation and personal injury cases have set priorities. So if you can build a case, but if you have a problem and that it's caused by any kind of trauma, then and I'm taking it outside of your question, if it's a personal injury accident, a slip and fall, or if it's a car accident and so forth that triggered this originally, then you need to go to an attorney who's going to demand and get those things ordered. Otherwise, you've got to go to a physician who's willing to work with you, do the documentation, request the tests, and get those tests, and then be able to write a letter. But initially, unfortunately, if your doctors are unwilling, you're going to have to go to somebody and say, "What would you do if this was your wife, your sister, your family, and I want those same tests?" But then you got to be ready to write the check. It's not a fair system, but it is what it is. It's one of those things. 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. In studio, Dr. Harlan Browning, your presenter, your host this Wednesday evening, the 27th of July, is talking about chronic pain that just does not go away, and that you're on all kinds of medications and other things that you just don't know what to do anymore. But there's a way out of this. Dr. Browning, let's get into this a little bit more about the triggering mechanisms on some of these conditions. You know, with how about somebody that comes in and they say, "Doc, I've had polymyalgia rheumatica. You know, my doctor told me that. Is that a catch, a bushel basket, or is there really something that they can say you've got this condition? And what is it?"
I mean, it's basically a descriptive term to say that there's global pain going on. I mean, there's definitive things that we know that will cause that. Sometimes it's overdiagnosed. So again, it depends on who's making that diagnosis and if they have supporting documentation, if they've done, you know, testing to support that. You know, if someone has global pain, you need to look at it from multiple levels to try to figure out exactly what's causing it. And again, it goes back to the four things that I look at. Is it, you know, is it mechanical degenerative? Is it metabolic? There's a lot of undiagnosed gout. There's people who have acid alkaline issues as well. The autoimmune and then referred pain. Referred pain becomes, you know, a biggie with people who have stuff going on for years and years and years and they just can't find it.
What does that mean?
So what that means is there is something that's causing the pain that's outside of the area of pain. Some good examples would be when someone has an unstable angina. Then, in other words, their heart muscle becomes spastic. They might have arm pain or arm tingling or jaw pain off and on. So they keep going to their dentist, you know, insisting that I must have a cavity when it's actually a heart problem. Or people who have, you know, clogged up gallbladders and they're getting this off again, on again, shoulder blade pain, but yet the orthopedist says your rotator cuff looks good and the physical therapist says, you know, everything is great. So you have to look at where that pain is being referred from, because it may be something visceral that has to be addressed.
You know, when you deal with referred patterns of any kind, and this can get into many organ muscle patterns, you know, from inside the visceral patterns to outside to the muscular patterns, and the heart is one of them. You can get into it with low back pain that comes from the bowel or the organs of reproduction. You can get emotional pain as well. So that's when you get into psychogenic pains. It's not all in your head. It's real stress patterns that cause these things to occur. But then we get into this vicious loop. Let's go to the phones. Russ, how can we help you? Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was recently diagnosed with a substernal goiter. After doing a CAT scan to check to make sure that I had not any food particles in my lung after swallowing a chicken bone, they cleared me of everything, but then found that there was a deviation in my esophagus and my airway. And then on closer look, they did a CAT scan and found this substernal goiter that goes down about 5.5 centimeters below my clavicle. I'm going to meet with a general surgeon. I've already made contact with the general surgeon as well as been referred to a cardiac thoracic surgeon in the event that they need to team up.
Let me ask you a quick question. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Anybody in your family have had a problem with goiters at all? Any thyroid problems?
No.
Okay. So the number one cause for any kind of goiter is not enough iodine in the body. And, you know, what's happened in our society is that we have depleted our soils and we've started to spray things on. These are called halides. And now we're spraying bromides almost on everything as a preservative and so forth. And it gets in and it competes in different body tissues for iodine. And iodine is used every place in the body, but particularly in the thyroid. You can't produce adequate amounts of the right hormones, and it also can affect calcium absorption and so forth in the body. Now, substernal goiters just mean the goiter is a goiter. It's just an enlargement of the thyroid, but it's growing in the wrong direction. And in your situation, it's going underneath the sternum. So if I was involved in this thing before any kind of surgery and so forth, and they take your thyroid out completely, I would be looking at any kind of deficiencies from tyrosine to adequate amounts of minerals, what's the alkaline acid base in your body, but iodine and iodine linkages and so forth. Dr. Browning, got any comments on that?
Yeah, Russ, is your thyroid hormones within normal range?
Well, normal is pretty wide, like from a 0.5 to a 5, I think.
That's what we were talking about earlier.
And so I'm just about a half a point above the minimum. I also have struggled with weight all my life and have not been able to take the weight off. So I'm curious if maybe because I might have a hypothalamic issue, even though it shows within normal, because the normal range is so wide. I'm just trying to find out to educate myself before I go and speak to this lab.
Russ, here's the situation with the ranges that we talked about. Normal thyroid function on the lab is going to be like 0.4 or 0.457 up to about 4.5. The actual functional medicine normals are 1.8 to 2.3. That's ideal. And then you look at other hormones. Is it converting to T4, thyroxine, and then the T4 going to T3, which is the active hormone, and is that actually getting into the system? So you have to look at all this. You may, if you've had thyroid problems your whole life and been, you know, those hormones have been skewed and having trouble losing weight, then what takes place is that you're going to gain weight and your other metabolic patterns are going to be difficult. You're going to have problems mentating. You're going to have problems with inflammation in the joint space. All the things that Dr. Browning's talking about, but it's often an intestinal tract autoimmune reaction. It can be either a Hashimoto's thyroiditis or a Graves' pattern. A Hashimoto's thyroiditis is going to be a grain irritation of the gut to get rid of all the grains, and you decrease the inflammatory reactions, increase the digestive enzymes, decrease or increase the fatty acids, and you able to turn this around. Russ, I'm sorry. Listen, if you want to give us a note, send it to RoselleCare.com, either Dr. Browning or myself. We'll get back to you and give you some more data. But, you know, my push away is find out exactly what's going on before you do anything. I think you still have time. We're coming up to a break. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. We'll be right back.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. If you've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live, we're here every Sunday, same old place, 12 noon on the Eastern Seaboard. And you do the math wherever you're listening to us to. We know there's many of you that listen to us on the computer in many different parts, actually the world, and a whole lot of folks that are out in the West Coast, middle of the country, and so forth. We thank you for that, and tell your friends all about the program because we want more of you to be educated. 888-630-9625, that's how you find us here, and how you find us when we're not here, go to RoselleCare.com. That's RoselleCare.com. And this Wednesday evening, Dr. Harlan Browning, your host and your presenter, will be talking about what we're talking about right now, joint pain. And it's the 27th, this Wednesday, 7 p.m. Call 703-698-7117. We'll take one more call. Steve, thank you for being patient. Appreciate it very much. How can we help you?
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I am curious. I'll throw the first part of the question out. Is are massage chairs beneficial? And you're talking about joint and inflammation issues and such today. I have a variety of medical conditions. I had 4 vertebrae in my neck fused. I'm retired from the military, so they did it for me. Have bulging disc in the lower back and arthritis all in my back and a variety of other things. But sat in one the other day for about 5 or so minutes, and I still feel good.
Okay, so
a few days later.
So what's happening is it's working on the muscular system. It's trying to separate and open the joint spaces. There are many different kinds of massage chairs that are out there. Some of them are really good. Some of them aren't worth the money you spend on them. But at the end of the day, unless you have a lot of joint space inflammatory reactions, for the most part, they're going to be okay, particularly if you use them judiciously. And, you know, you start slow. Massage is better, you know, doing with the types of things. But we don't have a lot of time. I've got about a minute for you to ask me another question, and then we're going to answer it. Then we've got to go on because we're up at the end of the program.
Well, that really is my question. I had been considering if they are worth having to.
I'll tell you what you do. Okay, send me a note and remind me of the question on the air, and I will tell you the one that I have at home.
Okay.
Okay. So just go to RoselleCare.com, and I'll tell you. And you can ask me any other question that you want to about the joint problems, and just send it to me. I will get back to you sometime. Probably not to the end of this week because I have to host the International College of Applied Kinesiology annual meeting. So I'm going to be out for about 4 or 5 days. But I will do that as soon as I get back, and I will tell you who I think that you might spend your money with. Appreciate the call, Steve. Thank you very much. Dr. Harlan, let's talk a little bit about what you're going to be talking about Wednesday evening.
Well, we're going to go through a lot of the cause and effect of chronic pain, specifically the cause part, because a lot of folks are undiagnosed. And just because the diagnosis that they got is arthritis, I mean, it doesn't tell you what caused it. So we're going to, you know, strip that down and look at the underlying situation that might be causing a lot of these problems. We're going to look at conservative ways to treat it. You know, that's why people come see us. What can I do that doesn't involve surgery or drugs? And that's, you know, that is the number one reason people, you know, come to see us, when they've already seen other doctors for their problem. So we'll talk about things that they can do to improve structural integrity, to improve their biochemistry, to change, you know, the stress and emotional patterns as well. And I always give take-home stuff. So for folks that want to try to do things on their own before they do things within a doctor's office, we'll talk about, you know, ways you can change your diets. There's certain supplements that you can take that will be helpful. And, you know, I'm there to answer questions. As always, that's the basis behind what we do in the office, is we want to answer questions so people understand what's going on with them and the choices that they can make.
You know, it does us no good to treat somebody or for them to go through a series of treatments, sometimes very protracted if you really want to turn things around. But if you're not willing to change lifestyle and turn things around, it's like you're stuck in the same loop. We want you to be we want you to be a team with us, is really what we want. This Wednesday evening, Dr. Harlan Browning, be there. Those of you know him, knows it's great. Love you all. See you next week. Bye.